Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life West Leadership Line. I am going to the south side, the north side, the east side, the west side. I'm going to Chicago today, where I have a very dear friend, Dr. Sam Wang. Hey, babe, welcome, Sam.
What's up, guys?
I am excited about today. Sam and I had dinner, maybe about 2 months ago, something like that? In yep. San Francisco, you were in for a night and a day, like literally. And we had dinner, and I said, dude, where you been? Let's get together. So I got Dr. Sam, and he's going to be dropping some amazing pearls of wisdom for us today. I do want to give you just a short bio about him, okay? So Sam graduated in 2001 from Sherman College of Chiropractic in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And he 24 years in practice right now, or 24 years as a DC. His first 7 years, he was full-time practice in Chicago, and then he started developing practices. And he went into more part-time practice, admin stuff, and developed 6 practices, got together with someone else who had 7 practices, and they merged them and formed a conglomerate called Chiro One. And then life just kind of took off for Dr. Sam, which we'll probably get into today. He does amazing things in chiropractic. You'll see him at conferences all over the country. He's involved in the direction that we're going in chiropractic. But he's also involved in the educational side. He's on the board of trustees of Logan College of Chiropractic. He's involved on the philosophical side. He's a Delt from Delta Sigma Chi. And I think his greatest accomplishment probably is his marriage, right? 31 years, right, to Jennifer. And he's got 2 boys, Brandon, who's 20, and Justin, who's 18. Almost, you could be an empty nester, I'm not sure, but getting close. And life changes. It's wonderful, let me tell you. But just doing amazing things. And those are probably your biggest pride and joy. And he's got an amazing story. And we're going to jump into that right now. So, Sam, talk to me, man. First of all, tell me how you got into chiropractic. How did chiropractic find you?
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here. I was one of those kind of slow learners growing up. And so I was very fortunate. I grew up in the where the fountainhead of chiropractic was, but didn't know anything about Palmer College. Outside of the locals, we used Palmer to get our sports physicals for $5. So that's all I knew what Palmer College was, is where we would go and get our high school sports physicals. But I was fortunate. I suffered a rear end collision in a car accident and experienced some whiplash, and found a Gonstead practitioner and gave me a cervical chair adjustment, and one and done, and pain was gone. And so I just found my calling through that first adjustment.
I love it. Well, listen, growing up in a Korean family, I don't know if it's anything like a Jewish family, but everybody wants one of their kids to be a doctor, right?
That's right. Growing up, especially coming to the States, my mom's mantra was, you're going to go to college, you're going to be a doctor, and you're going to have a great life. So that was just there was no option. That was just what I had to do.
She just never thought about that it would be a chiropractic doctor, right?
That's right.
And that's it. I just want to bring back one last thing, because you were born in South Korea, mm-hmm. right? And your mm-hmm. family came to the States. Just give us a short glimpse of what that was like, because how many states did you live in?
I grew up in 8 different states. And it was funny, it was full circle, because when we came over to the U.S., my grandfather, who was here just a little bit before us, landed in Moline, Illinois, part of the Quad Cities. We ended up staying with him for the first few years, and then started traveling south and lived in Missouri and Kansas, and then Mississippi, New Orleans, Georgia, the Carolinas, Indiana, and then back here to Illinois. So full loop, but came over in the 70s as a young child, and I think just being part of that first generation, mom and dad just had high expectations, especially with academics, and they just saw that the American dream, right? Of if you go and study hard, work hard, you can have a great life, and so that was always there.
Yeah, and what was the movement? Like, going to all these states, I know military people do that all the time. What was your story?
Similar parallel to military. My father was a serial entrepreneur, and he just went job to job to job until he could afford to open the next restaurant. He opened Chinese restaurants. I think he had five total over the years, but every attempt, as he would go and close and open a new one, we would move to another state, and then he would work jobs until he could save enough to then start another restaurant. So we just went and did that, and coincidentally, we lived very close to a lot of military bases. So a lot of my friends kind of had the same lifestyle, moving from state to state, for their parents' occupations.
And that helps. I know that helps. It's comforting. And me practicing and my wife practicing in San Diego for, so many years, right? 30 something plus years. We took care of a lot of military. Obviously, the San Diego's Navy Town, USA, just north of us, Camp Pendleton, and they all say the same thing, Sam. They say, it was devastating on one level to keep moving because you had to break into a new crowd and you especially after like 13, 14 years of age, that kind of thing. But they said, but looking back on it was some of the best growth experience for them for their future, right? To be able to know how to meet people, know how to fit in, and know how to decipher and learn what people are doing and where they're from, right?
Those are people that are really close to me know that I'm just a natural introvert, and moving around, having to then establish new friendships and get into new sports and activities, just drew out my personality to then be able to be attractive enough to be able to then, convey and connect with other people. It served me well. I took advantage of that kind of learning. And, the nice thing about knowing that you're going to move, from city to city was that you had a clean slate, and you had the ability to almost reinvent yourself. Which if you didn't like, what the identity you identified with, was back, and then you could move to the next town over and go, okay, I'm going to change that
It's
one.
a redo. You could redo yourself, right?
It's a refinement process.
I think this time I'm going to say I came from a professional baseball family. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, let's jump into something because I want to really pick your brain and you've done amazing things in the business world. I mean, obviously you've developed a, Kyra One, and Kyra One is all over the map right now in the, in the areas that you choose it to go to. But I want to talk about like the curiosity of success, right? Because there's so many people can practice in any way that they want to, right? In our profession. And some people just want to go practice, go home, do their thing, whatever. Whatever success means to any individual, it doesn't look the same. But there's got to be, I don't know, I don't know if it's called curiosity or whatever, but talk to me about what that success model could look like or what you think about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of us, even from the time we were students to, coming out into the field, we've been to seminars where, you have a brilliant speaker that has a tremendous amount of wisdom on the stage, and we get down to the near end of the presentation, and then, it's the Q&A session, and the audience is just silent. You have this person who's bringing a wealth of knowledge, but yet none of us have prepared questions to ask. Somebody who's, whoever's presenting on whatever subject matter expertise that they're bringing. And I see that all the way from the classroom as I talk to students to then doctors that want to achieve success by their own definitions. They're attending conferences or seminars to listen to people that they view or deem as successful. Yet when it comes to the one-on-one interaction of, hey, what are some questions to ask that person now that you have that intimate moment? And they're just very, very blank. And so I saw the patterns as I was going through my travels and realized, maybe people just don't know how to be curious, how to start asking the questions. Even I remember, some of my mentors would say, ask them what they would ask a great speaker or one of their mentors. What was their favorite question? Like, what should I ask you that if I want to emulate what your success was? You could start there, but there are so many opportunities, to talk to these world-renowned experts, but yet we stay very, very quiet and we stay very, very, humble, but that curiosity is missed then in terms of that opportunity, right? And I think if anything, we've heard over and over again, luck is that preparation meets opportunity, and really take advantage of that opportunity by being prepared with the questions, at least, your favorite three questions or at least the one best
And I
question.
think this, Sam, I think people have a hard time finding their questions. And listen, I don't care where it starts, I mean, you could be in practice 25 years. That curiosity should still be there, right? If it's like the body. If it doesn't change, it's either dying or it's growing, one or the other. It's going one way or the other. It doesn't just stay right here, right? And same thing in our lives. And that success doesn't have to just be in our practice. It's in our lives. And what do I want? And someone in practice 20 years, 25 years, not that they should be thinking about retirement, but they should be planning, right? About what they're thinking of, what they'd like to do and what they want to do with their spouse or their significant other or whatever it is. And those plans can change, but it's finding those questions within. And I'll tell you this, I'll tell you the audience this. The question I ask when I meet people, I was across the table from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., right? Last, I don't know, a year ago, a little bit, more than a year ago, it was February of 2024. And we're having dinner. And the question that I asked him is what I ask all high-level CEOs. What keeps you up at night? And when you ask that question to someone in a position of, whatever it might be, whether it's a president of a CEO of a corporation, a college, running for president of the United States, it's like you're going to learn a lot about that person. And you're also going to learn that, wow, I've got the same thing, or it might be they had looked differently. But talk to me about some questions. Give me some examples of questions that can come out.
A really non-threatening one is asking what their proudest achievements are, right? And how they got there, right? That's a one that anybody on stage will have a tiny bit of ego, and to be able to share what their proudest achievements were, and like you mentioned, my marriage, my children, my business accomplishments, those are all easy ones for me to quickly tackle without having to really go back too far in my memory. That's one of my favorites. I think when you think about you said what keeps you up at night. I think also in that same parallel is what regrets. Like if you could go back and do it again, what would you do differently, right? Because again, I think we've made a lot of great mistakes and we've learned through them. So I don't think we would change anything because that would then change the overall path and course that you've taken. But if you could, if you knew the obstacles that were in your way to success in advance, I would love to know what those were, right? And those are very interesting stories because, again, you can learn a lot more, I think, from the mistakes people have made than, the successes they've had.
And most people, Sam, would know. Most successful people, because they're gonna think about, what would I want to have a do-over on? They're gonna say, just like you just said, no, that one was really good for me because it got me here, and that one was really good, got me here. But those couple that are there, they're gonna boom, they're gonna have it right at the top of their mind, and they'll be able to share those. And those would be deep. Those would be very, very cool things to hear.
I have not run into anyone that I deem successful that hasn't had fantastic failures in their journey. So they're all willing to share and learn from them because again, it's built who they are. So I think yeah, asking questions into those mistakes or failures is just
It's
gold.
great. It's great. And what's been your greatest obstacle? to get
I'll
to
tell
where
you.
to get to where you are now? Doesn't mean a failure, but what's been your greatest obstacle, you know? I
It's
mean.
the 6 inches between my ears. It's my own limiting beliefs. My
True.
own limiting beliefs.
Yeah. So true. So true. You know, but you really hit it, and I'm so glad you talked about it, because that curiosity, it also brings you closer to people. It shows you their reality. You know this. I mean, Jerry Klum used to tell me this, and just in our profession, Jerry to me was one of the icons. And Jerry told me a story about, I think he took his son Don on a weekend seminar that Jerry was speaking at, and then after Jerry spoke, all these people were coming up to him all over. Don was by his side, and da 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 da, for the whole weekend. And I think it was on the way home, Don looks at his father, looks at Jerry, and says, "Wow, Dad, you're really a big deal, aren't you?" And Jerry looks at him and goes, "Where the hell you been the last 16 years?" But it was just so interesting, because when you go home, your kids see you for who you are. Your kids see you, in a different light, and they see, that's really who we are, right? And yet, being able to talk with people and find that out and be able to see who they are, right? It's so important. You see that they're not much different than us, right? We all put our pants on and our shoes on the same way, It's so cool.
Yeah, I think there are common denominators to successful people, and once you realize everyone is human, everyone has their drawbacks as well as their benefits. And when you at the core, as human beings, we just love to serve, we love to love, and when you recognize that, then the walls can come down, and the conversations, the dialogue can happen.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Well, let me shift gears for a second, because, I think that curiosity will bring an elicit answers that I think that people will maybe be surprised about, but then after a while, when they sit with it, be able to go, "Wow, yeah, that makes sense," and relate to it on some level, right? But I think that, what you just talked about between the 6 inches right here, the limiting beliefs and things like that, I don't know if we value, what we have. And value has to be a part of this, right? How would you reframe that and talk about value?
Well, I think as human beings, we have value systems, and to really get in tune with where your highest values are of the different systems that we have, right? To use a John DeMartini summary, the seven values are mental, spiritual, physical, social, family, financial, and vocation, right? Your career. And of those seven, at any time of your life, the order of them, the priority of them will evolve as you evolve as a human being. But knowing what your top three highest values are helps determine the purpose or the why behind what it is that you're doing, right? And striving for. And if you're not clear on what those values are in what the order of those values are in your own personal life, you could kind of mislead yourself to doing things that maybe societal pressures, or a spouse, or family would say, "Hey, you should just go do this," or "Why aren't you at this place at this time?" Type thing, and that's where people get, I think, distracted.
You're right. They get derailed, actually. And it's so interesting, because it's almost like B.J. Palmer talked about, right? Having an anchor, right? Who can anchor to an unanchored mind, right? And when chiropractors aren't anchored, or business people aren't anchored, they can just go to and fro, and they don't even stand the course of time, because they can't weather the storm, right? But an anchor can weather the storm. It'll get thrown around, but it can anch you know it's going to be there afterwards. I want to, can I ask you your three highest values?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have financial as number one, family as number two. A lot of people kind of automatically just say family should be one, so they just kind of say family as one, but many, many times as human beings. You know, we're not just simple creatures, we're very complex. And so values then oftentimes get linked, right? But financial is one, family is two, and then vocation, my career, is three.
Okay.
And it comes in that order for me at this era of my life, because, you know, building a legacy for the future generations, my children, and hopefully their children, you know, behind them. I personally want to see chiropractic evolve to where we are the primary portal of entry for all health, right? And then the chiro then decides where, you know, the patient needs to go in the whole healthcare system. That's huge. For me, the financial success to be able to support my family and the endeavors that, you know, I pursue is paramount. And so for me, high value is to make sure that I've squirreled away enough nuts to secure myself and my family, and then to make sure that the family then grows and matures in a direction that supports then, you know, again, the vocation, I think, you know, because it for us, chiropractic isn't just a job. It's not just a service that I perform. You know, for me, it's a lifestyle,
Right.
right? It's understanding that everything is vitalistic, comes from within. And when you understand that, then everything that we do, right? Whether it's how we eat, how we move and exercise, what we think about, you know, to, you know, all the other fun things that the hobbies that we endure and the jobs that we take on. That vitalistic understanding of, you know, where things come from inside out, that kind of leads how I determine those values.
Right. And I love that I love that you said financial. And when you said above my family, which many people might think like that, you know, it's the value system is so, it doesn't mean that you love money more than you love your family. It's the value that you're holding right now. And you value your family because what you just told me was with the money, right? Or with the finance, that's what goes and feeds your family. It's almost like I value food more than I value, you know, because that food will keep me sustained. And it's interesting when to allow people to shift into that mindset, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel guilt if they say, well, money's more important at that phase of life. And it's really, you know, again, there's no judgment on this, but when you truly understand what motivates you then because of your value system, then you're serving your purpose and you don't reach that phase of burnout, right? That people go, I'm just so exhausted or this isn't fulfilling anymore because, again, you're not serving your highest value. If you were and you understood what your highest values were, then you wake up every day excited to go do that because, again, it's what you were meant to do, it's
Right.
what you were built for.
Right. And it doesn't mean that one is that much further than two and that
That's right.
much further than three. I mean, like you said, they could be linked, right? And as they're linked, I mean, here I am, you know, Mary and I raised three girls, you know, and if I said to my daughters, hey, we're going to go raft down the Colorado River and, you know, we're going to spend 7 days there, you know, the first question they'd ask is how close is the Hyatt, you know? And so to get an idea that my values, I didn't even know it, but it certainly was, I had a beast to feed, right, on the financial side, especially
Right.
as they were growing up. And it was lovingly so. I'm so thrilled about them, but it's like, it really is incredible to think that when you put your purpose together, but not just that purpose of doing something, but to be the best you can be, the derivative is going to be financial if it has any kind of relationship with money. Other people might have services that don't have relationship with money, and that's great. Then finances aren't going to be there. But you know, if they all tie in, and I love that what you said, that when you wake up in the morning and you really know your three highest values, everything you do will feed towards that, right? And they shift. I'm sure they can shift.
Yeah, and to give an example, you know, if social becomes your number one value, somebody who then thinks that they should be charging a high fee for their services that they perform as a chiropractor, is off, right? They should have more of a lower fee structure because they actually get charged by seeing more volume, seeing and serving more patients that they can afford to. And again, if financial becomes at the bottom of the seven values, Then again, that's absolutely then supporting your your highest purpose and your why, that then their practice should be more focused on a cash model, as opposed to, if it's a financial, maybe more from a commercial insurance model in terms of how they practice.
And that's so important to get those business aspects right. And I gotta say this to our audience, it doesn't matter where you are in practice, you can shift tomorrow.
That's
Like
exactly right.
literally, every day, Sam, I hear people saying, I left insurance, I went to a cash practice, boom, just like that, right? I mean, literally cold turkey, and they all say the same thing, best thing I ever did.
And they, again,
They still
they
can
just
put
connected
bills.
their values.
That's exactly it, because it aligns. And I think that's probably, boy, it just hit me. It's probably one of the biggest subluxations we have, in our businesses and also in ourselves. If we're not in alignment with our values, we're sub we're just we're disconnected, right?
Major interference, absolutely.
And therefore, and so many people think, they think money's going to buy them happiness, and the truth is, all money does is give you more choices. It doesn't buy you happiness. It gives you more choices. And a lot of times with more choices, that can create more stress. So there's got to be that value system set up to be able to do, like you just said, your purpose, to be able to take chiropractic out to the world, to be able to have chiropractic be the number one place that people go to, and yet you have the wherewithal to be able to drive that. Otherwise, it's just a dream, right? And a dream without action is really probably more of a hallucination. But I love it, man. Dude, I am so thrilled. First of all, I want you to just know that I'm just blessed that you're in chiropractic, because what you're doing and what you will continue to do, as you grow your empire and whatever that looks like, that you will be giving back, because that's who you are, obviously. And for someone like me, who's 44 years in right now, so a little bit more than twice what you've been, where you're at now, but you'll be sitting in the seat pretty soon, because it goes quick. I just am thrilled to know that, the future's bright, and it is, because we need this leadership, and we need people to, the new generation of chiropractors. When I say new, I'm talking about 20, 25 years in practice, maybe even 28 years. They pivot very quickly. And what I see with you, Sam, is that you're not afraid to pivot. You're not afraid to make those decisions and make those choices that are going to lead toward your highest values, which is, your purpose. So thank you, man. I appreciate you so much.
I can tell you, I agree with you that between that 20 to 40 year mark is right at, where our prime is, and I'm excited to kind of just start into that groove and serve as best I can, and I appreciate you having me on your podcast.
Absolutely. And opening day is coming up in Chicago, so go Cubs or go
Go Cubs.
Sox or whatever, whoever your flavor of choice is. And thank you, Sam. I so appreciate you. And to our audience, thank you. Thank you for being, day in, week in and week out. I mean, you guys are constantly here. This is a LifeWest Leadership Line. Next week or every other week, we drop a Life by LifeWest. And I know you spread these. Listen, I got to tell you, today with Dr. Sam, there are people who need to, there's people in our profession, people in your world, who are, they could be, I don't want to say struggling, but they're challenged right now, right? And some are struggling, but they're challenged right now, or they're thinking, should I do this, or should I, maybe I want to retire, maybe they don't, whatever it is, make sure they listen to this, because if they can get aligned with their highest values, it's incredible. I mean, just to be able to do that, and how do they curiosity go out and ask those questions? Because I know for me, before I step into anything, I'm always going to go and talk to people who have kind of been there. I go to a new country, I don't just go blind. I'll talk to people who've been there and ask them questions. And what was the good things? What would you look out for? Where wouldn't you go again? People I trust, of course. Send this out to those folks, because I have to tell you, it's so important. And I know you're sharing the message anyway. So thank you. And thank you for all that you do for chiropractic. And for Dr. Sam and myself, we're going to bid you adieu. And also know that, remember that, you are more powerful than anybody. ever led you to believe. And that power is from the inside. And all we got to do is go and spread our message and work with that 6 inches between our ears and change our lives and the lives of people around us. So from all of us to all of you, we'll see you next time on the Life West Leadership Line. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.